Hello and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Kriva, and my friend MJ.
Yo!
Where we talk about Journey to the West, and we're on to chapter 27. So, as for warnings, this episode features death, Sun Wukong's torture headband is going to get used again as a warning, and there's some mentions of cannibalism. So it's going to be fun.
Yay! All of my favorite things.
So, in the last chapter, the pilgrims made amends with Master Zhenyuan, the Lord Equal to Earth, after Guanyin restored his ginseng fruit tree to life. He's actually taken quite a liking to the Great Sage Equal to Heaven, and he wants the pilgrims to stay for another week. But Tripitaka feels reinvigorated after eating the ginseng fruit, and he wants to press on.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Also, you know, if someone who tried to deep fry me asked me to stay for a little while, I'd probably be like, you know, I'd love to, but I got this mission from heaven and everything. You know, hands are tied. Don't tie my hands again.
Yeah, he did try and, like, whip him to death a couple times.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, there's some history there, you know, and I'm not saying it's great that amends have been made and all, but maybe a little distance is needed for everyone.
So they hit the road again, and after a little while they come to the White Tiger Mountain. And it takes them most of the day to get to the summit, at which point Tripitaka asks Wukong to go beg for some food for them to eat. Wukong points out that they're the summit of a huge mountain that took an entire day to climb. There's absolutely no one nearby.
This guy just does not prepare.
Tripitaka snaps at him and he calls him lazy and says he owes Tripitaka for saving his life from being trapped under the Mountain of the Two Frontiers. So Wukong is worried that Tripitaka is going to just start reciting the tight fillet spell again, so he says he'll go and have a look, and he jumps up into the clouds. And when he comes back down, he says there's no households at all nearby, but he thinks he sees some peach trees on another mountain to the south, and he flies off to pick some. No, it's fine. They're just normal peaches. It's fine. I promise.
So these peaches are neither particularly evil nor slutty. Okay.
They are normal peaches.
I'm conflicted about this, because on the one hand, you know, yes, Sun Wukong can fly and has gone, you know, tens of thousands of miles in a very short time and really could get him some food from anywhere, but also pack a fucking sandwich, man. you spent a day climbing a mountain, just like, you know, common sense, little trail mix and protein bars. Get your shit together.
I think it's like, it's part of the whole deliberate, like, ascetic monk lifestyle, that they don't, like, carry much provisions with them, that they have to beg everywhere they go. It's kind of an intentional way of life.
Okay, fair enough.
I think also, but I think there's a point there where it's still kind of, you're kind of cheating that by sending off your magical flying disciple who can get food from anywhere in the world at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta pick up anything. Like, if you really like this one particular dish in a place outside, you know, 100 miles back, go like, oh god, I've got such a craving for that soup. Could you do that? He's like a supernatural Deliveroo with the world's biggest catchment area.
And even worse labor practices somehow.
Yeah, this is true.
So Wukong suddenly flying off alerts a monster who lives on the mountain named Lady Whitebone. She goes to have a look at what's going on and sees the rest of the pilgrims resting. Now, word has been going around among demons about I've been saying, like, Tang Dynasty and Tang Monk for this entire podcast. I think it's actually meant to be pronounced more like Tong.
Huh.
So sorry about that. Expect everything else I'm saying to be equally mispronounced.
Yay.
She's heard about the Tog Monk's pilgrimage from her demon relatives, and they've been saying that Tripitaka is so holy that if one eats his flesh, it will prolong your life. So she's pretty delighted. She's pretty delighted to see him, and she wants to eat him.
I like the idea that they have like family reunions, though. That's quite nice. But also, yeah, all the eating of flesh of people and fruit and things in order to provide immortality. There's got to be some sort of thematic thing there that maybe someone smarter than me can elucidate on.
Yeah, I mean, that's hardly unique to
Oh yeah, true.
A lot of different myths and legends about magic food that'll make you immortal or make you young or make you whatever.
True. Just the people thing is less. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with this. It's Sunday. I've got a weird headache and yeah. Anyway, continue. This is your.
Yeah. Sure. So she also sees Xiao Wujing and Zhu Baji, and she's a bit wary to try and attack them head on. So instead, she transforms into the form of a young woman, and starts walking up the mountain pass towards them. And she has with her a blue sandstone pot and a green porcelain vase that she tells them is full of food that she's brought to feed monks.
Just random monks, like they're pigeons on the side of the road, or like ducks.
Yeah.
So like, I'm going out to feed the monks.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That sounds totally normal and not suspicious.
So Tripitaka wonders aloud where she came from when Wukong said there was no houses around. But Baji doesn't care. He's not one to look a gift horse in the mouth, at least not when the gift is food.
Also the pretty lady, maybe.
Probably helps.
Yeah.
Tripitaka insists on asking her about where she came from, though, and she tells him that she lives west of here with her parents and her husband. Her parents are very pious and insist on feeding any monks that pass through very liberally. And Tripitaka says that it's improper for a woman to go out on her own. Why hasn't her husband or parents come instead? And she says that her husband is busy supervising some workers as they plow the fields on the northern face of the mountain, and her parents are too old.
Okay.
So Tripitaka says he has a disciple that's gone to pick some fruit for them to eat. He doesn't want to impose on her, especially as her husband might get upset at her for giving away food. But she smiles seductively.
Oh dear.
And insists that her husband would be upset if she didn't feed them. He's even more pious than her parents, she swears.
Oh, of course.
Tripitaka still refuses to eat any food until Wukong comes back. But Baji starts to get very upset, and he just grabs one of the pots instead, and he's about to dig into it when Wukong arrives back with the peaches. Wukong immediately recognizes that the woman is just a monster in disguise and pulls out his iron rod to smash her in the head. Tripitaka jumps up and grabs him and pulls him away and asks him what the hell he's doing.
It's a monster, yo. Are you blind?
Yeah, pretty much. Wukong says that the girl in front of them is definitely a monster. He used to pull the same trick back in the Water Curtain Cave when he was a monster. If he felt like eating someone, he would transform into gold or silver, or an empty building, or a drunk, or a beautiful woman. And anyone who fell for it, he'd drag back to the Water Curtain Cave and steam them, then dry the leftovers in the sun and keep for rainy days.
Is this something we've heard before from him?
No! This is all new information!
I feel like I would remember! Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Wukong used to turn into a girl and eat people.
Now I know. Cool.
And he importantly, he preferred to steam people before he ate them.
Well, I mean, I would hate to think of him raising his cholesterol.
So Tripitaka doesn't believe the woman is a monster. He says she seems too much like a good person.
Mm.
Wukong thinks that the problem is Tripitaka is maybe getting too horny and it's clouding his judgment. So he teases him by suggesting that they build a small hut so that Tripitaka and the woman can fuck in private.
Well, that's better than I thought you were going to say. Go behind that rock, have a wank, and come back when you can think clearly. But okay.
I'm not sure it is any better, to be honest, but
No, it's not. But yeah.
Yeah, Tripitaka is so embarrassed that his entire bald head turns crimson. And while Tripitaka is too embarrassed to respond, Wukong spins around his iron rod and smashes the monster in the face.
Fair.
The monster, though, knows a few tricks and is able to do a spell to leave behind a fake corpse while she escapes into the clouds invisibly, leaving Wukong standing over the body of a normal-looking young woman with her face caved in.
Ooh, that's not going to go down well for him, is it?
So yeah, Tripitaka is aghast and he mutters that he's repeatedly told Wukong not to kill people. And Wukong tells him to check the contents of the pots of food and see what's actually in them. And so instead of the promised rice and cakes, the blue pot is filled with maggots and the green vase is filled with frogs and toads.
And he's a vegetarian.
Yeah, he is.
It's just rude.
So Tripitaka is starting to think that there was maybe 30% truthfulness, actual quote from the book, in what Wukong was saying. When Zhu Baji gives his opinions, he thinks Wukong didn't realize that one blow would kill the girl, and he's after casting his own spell to transform the food to hide his guilt.
Oh, come on.
Tripitaka is not inclined to trust Wukong that much. And he's convinced by this, and he starts reciting the tight fillet spell, and he threatens to send Wukong away for continuing to be violent at every opportunity. Wukong says that he worries Tripitaka won't survive without him, and Tripitaka just says if that's what's preordained, then so be it. Wukong says he could leave, but he still hasn't repaid Tripitaka's kindness, to which Tripitaka responds, "What kindness have I shown you?" Which is, I think, a good question, to be honest.
Yeah, it kind of is. There's been a lot of torture.
So Wukong kowtows down to Tripitaka and he says he's indebted to Guanyin and Tripitaka for freeing him from the mountain. And Tripitaka thinks Wukong seems to actually be sincere about this, so he says he can stay as long as he stops being violent. And he promises if Wukong is violent like that again, he'll recite the spell more than 20 times, and Wukong promises not to hit anyone. That settled, Wukong helps Tripitaka back on the horse, and Tripitaka starts eating a few of the peaches that Wukong brought.
Doesn't seem like a very balanced meal. Maybe he should have some maggots to go with it.
I don't think those are vegetarian.
That's true. That's true. I guess vegan maggots haven't been invented yet.
Meanwhile, Lady Whitebone is watching them from the clouds and thinking about what to do next. So the monsters have also been gossiping a lot about Wukong, and she realizes that his reputation may not have been exaggerated like she thought it was.
Yeah, he's gonna hit you. He's
So
gonna hit you hard.
she doesn't really have any other plan, though. She decides to try another disguise. She transforms into a very old woman, walking on a bamboo cane. And starts walking towards the monks again, openly weeping. Baji is the first to see her, and he's horrified. He thinks it must be the mother of the girl that Wukong killed. Wukong immediately points out that that girl looked like she was about 18, and this woman is at least 80. It's very obviously fake.
Yeah.
So he goes up to have a closer look at her, and he realizes immediately it's the same monster and just smashes her in the face without saying a word.
Oh, for God's sake.
The monster is able to pull the same trick again in time and just leaves a fake body behind.
Nobody is learning anything here.
Tripitaka falls off his horse in shock and recites the
Oh,
tight fillet spell 20 times before even bothering to get up.
for God's sake.
Wukong's head is squashed so tight it turns into an hourglass shape, and he
Oh, no.
begs Tripitaka to stop.
No.
Yeah, it's not nice. He tries to explain that the woman was a monster, but Tripitaka doesn't believe him and he wants to send him away. Wukong asks for one thing. He says back at the Water Curtain Cave, he was a big man. He led a huge army, and he cast an impressive figure. He had all together. He had a gold cap, a jade belt, cloud-treading shoes, and a bright red and yellow robe. And if he goes back in a monk's robes with a shaved, bald head and this band tied around his head, he won't be able to face anyone back home. So he asked Tripitaka to recite the loose fillet spell and let the band off his head. Tripitaka says, Wukong...
No.
No, he says, Bodhisattva Guanyin only taught me one spell. There isn't a loose filled spell. I don't know how to remove it.
Ah, shit.
So Wukong insists that if there's no way to take the thing off, he wants to stay. And Tripitaka eventually relents and he says he'll forgive him one more time as long as he promises never to kill anyone again.
At this stage, I'd just let him get eaten.
So Wukong says he wouldn't dare, and he helps Tripitaka back on his horse so they can head off again. So Lady Whitebone is still watching them again, and she's getting a bit anxious that they're going to get out of her territory soon. So she decides to try one more disguise. She turns into an old man and meets the pilgrims on the road again, reciting Buddhist sutras as she walks. And Tripitaka sees this old man. He's impressed by his piety, but Baji points out that that must be the father and husband of the two women that Wukong has already killed. Wukong says, this is getting stupid. He'll go and talk to them, and he does put away his iron rod this time and starts talking to her instead of just immediately trying to kill her again. So the monster, as the old man says, oh, my daughter went away this morning and hasn't come back, and my wife went to look for her too, but she hasn't come back either. I don't know what happened to them. I'm so worried and all this spiel, and Wukong immediately loses patience with this.
and smacks him in the face.
No, he shouts, how dare you pull a prank on me? I'm the granddaddy of pulling pranks.
Is that actually from the translation?
So, hold on. Exactly, he says. It's not very different. The actual words in the translation are, I'm the ancestor in pulling pranks.
Well, there we go.
So it is very similar.
It's pretty close, yeah.
And he says, I could see you're the same monster as before. So Wukong is about to attack her again when he remembers how this played out, like, the last two times, an hour ago. So instead he recites a spell to summon two local spirits, and he tells them to stand guard in the air and not to let her escape. And with them blocking her, he's able to finally kill her without her being able to escape and leave behind a fake corpse. So Tripitaka, watching from a distance though, is completely fucking dumbfounded. And Baji just laughs. So Wukong immediately runs back to them to tell Tripitaka, wait, hold on, look at the body. So this time, instead of a normal corpse, there's a pure white skeleton left behind with the character's Lady Whitebone carved on the spine. So Tripitaka is starting to believe that maybe it was actually a monster, but Baji once again thinks that Wukong is just using a spell to try and hide his tracks and just transforms the body.
Fucking.
So Tripitaka is easily swayed and he starts reciting the torture spell again.
I am feeling pretty bad for the guy at this point.
So Wukong begs him to stop, and he does, but he only does so just to go on a massive rant berating Wukong. He says, the virtuous deeds of those having left the family should be like grass in a garden of spring. Though their growth is invisible, they multiply daily, But he who practices evil is like a whetstone. Though its ruin is invisible, it diminishes daily. You manage to get away even after beating to death altogether 3 persons, only because there's no one here to oppose you, to take you to task in these desolate wilds. But suppose we get to a crowded city and you suddenly start hitting people regardless of good or ill. With that morning staff of yours, how would I be able to go free from the kind of great misfortune caused by you? You'd better go back. So, Wukong insists both that he was only helping Tripitaka by killing the monster, and also that without him, he wouldn't have any real man here to protect him, which Baji and Wu Jing take great offense to.
But, he's not wrong.
Tripitaka tells him to leave, and he promises if he just leaves him alone, he'll never recite the tight fillet spell again. Wukong doubts this. He thinks that the next time Tripitaka is in trouble and Baji and Wu Jing fail to help, he'll just use the tight fillet spell to summon Wukong back to save him. Tripitaka is really fucking pissed at this point. He gets off his horse, takes out his writing materials, and angrily writes a formal letter of banishment.
Sorry, I'm writing you up now.
Yeah,
it's one too many murders.
He hands the letter to Wukong and tells him that if he ever consents to see Wukong again, may he fall into hell.
That's not gonna end well.
Wukong is actually really upset by this. Like not angry, actually upset. And he wants to bow to Tripitaka to pay his proper respects to say goodbye. But Tripitaka turns his back on him and refuses. He says he refuses to take salutations from an evil man.
Oof, that is cold.
So Wukong pulls out 3 hairs and clones himself. And the 3 clones and Wukong surround Tripitaka on all sides and all bow to him, making it impossible for Tripitaka to turn his back on all of them at once.
That is the most, that is such a flex. That's amazing. I love that so much.
It's just so petty. I'm going to fucking respectfully bow to you. No. Regardless of whether you like it or not. Before he leaves, Sun Wukong decides to give some parting advice. To Xia Wu Jing, he says, don't listen to Baji's horseshit.
Fair. Wasn't fair.
To Tripitaka, he says, if a monster ever captures you and Baji and Wu Jing aren't able to help, just tell them that Sun Wukong is your senior disciple. That should scare them enough to let you go. Tripitaka swears that he'll never use the name of an evil man like that and just tells him to leave.
You know what? I hope you really get your arse bruised the next time you fall off your horse, dude.
So Wukong finally leaves. He flies back in the direction of the Flower Fruit Mountain. Passing over the Great Eastern Ocean, the water reminds him of Tripitaka, and he breaks down in tears, and he just sits in the air for a long time sobbing.
Oh, he was torturing you, so that's all kinds of fucked up. Oh
yeah, okay. It's a bit of a fucked up relationship.
Little bit.
That is actually the end of the chapter as well.
Oh yeah, I never thought I'd have this much sympathy for Wukong, but here, yeah, this is frustrating. And fuck Baji, man. What the hell are you doing?
He is a complete shit star.
He's a complete shithead. I mean, fuck him. Fuck that guy for multiple reasons. But yeah. Anyway, that was heartbreaking but fun, and thank you.
I do love this chapter just of the repeatedly, oh, it's a monster, smash, and just like the same thing happening.
It's very
over and over.
Very rule of three.
Yeah, it is.
Do
you, by the way, do you remember I mentioned before a film or a a pair of films called A Chinese Odyssey, the one with the surprising amount of time travel.
Yes, I remember the time travel bit anyway.
Strangely enough, Lady Whitebone is actually a major character in that, and is
Huh.
ex expanded from, like, she doesn't appear again, she is just dead now, but in those films she is like expanded to be Sun Wukong's love interest of all things.
That's all sorts of troubling, really, isn't
He does not kill her three times.
Okay, that makes things slightly better, I think.
But yeah, she's basically a completely different character. They just reused like skeleton demon woman and made an entirely different plot.
Well, that's a complete. It's like, Skeleton Demon Woman is just a classic archetype.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, like I think I mentioned before when I brought up this film before, Guanyin kills Sun Wukong within the first 5 minutes. That's how
Okay, yeah,
the
fair.
film starts. It's very different. I could promise you at no point in this novel will Guanyin just murder Sun Wukong.
Don't know why I'm disappointed about that. I'm very conflicted.
Well, there's a film where you can watch where it happens.
I might do that.
I don't have any other notes or anything else.
Woo. Well, thank you again for having me. I cannot wait for the next chapter.
Oh, you say that as if you're like you're a guest and not like the person I talk to after every
Co-host.
episode of
I
this.
know, I know. I'm trying to like new ways to end this, and also,
We are
yeah,
very
I don't
bad
know.
at ending the show.
I thought I'd be polite. I thought I'd be nice, but you know,
Okay, fair.
all I get here is mockery.
Yeah,
Feel
well.
like I've been set back to the fire fruit bit.
Yeah. That is fair. We should probably try and figure out a way to end episodes, because we are very, very bad at this.
Like, subscribe, review on platforms in which you can review that. Tell friends. Shout it from the tops of mountains. Make further demands for fruit-related merchandise, slutty and evil and otherwise. Can we just call rename ourselves the Evil Fruit or Slutty Fruit Podcast? I don't know. Anyway,
No,
yes.
let's not do
Let's not do that. I'm gonna start my own podcast, Slutty Fruit. Anyway, yep. Yeah.